voice of our nation.
They have that right to protest. You know, there is no need to go there now, start shooting.
The current affairs of our state.
Everywhere we are going to, the dirt of Abuja is not on the surface.
All at your fingertips on your Let's Go station.
95.1. Let's Talk.
This is no time for speeches. It's a time to take responsibility. It's a time to get your hands on the plow. It's a time to take responsibility for our city. The city needs our help, and we must be involved in making this city work. It's time to get out there and clean up the city. It's time to stop at the traffic light. It's time for us to treat the city with respect. Abuja is our home. We must treat it as our home. So I welcome you to the new FCT, where the citizen is the leader, where the followers are in charge, and where the people's voice takes over.
Make we gather up. I've got some information coming up briefly before we start to turn up. The truth is so far so good, oh. Now God on the save us, but our wrongdoings just they pile up and still we act like nothing before. On the media we shot black life matters, but in our country we did this thing in the matter. Happy trigger popo, we're supposed to protect the citizens, they should be innocent ones scatter. Tribalism should be pulling on wrongdoings, tearing us apart causing most of the killings. Niger, we're not getting younger, so this foolish thing is gonna stop.
How many times we go preach
about the same thing? I bet we don't come up this right now. So make a reason. How many times we go preach about the same thing? I bet we don't come up this right now. And for you, our leaders, see, for election, you don't need to bribe us. If you do very well for your first term, second term, our votes will pull your own box. And look, we are not asking for too much. We just need light, security, good roads, good economy. Oh man, that is not too much. If you treat us well, then others will respect us. And we citizens, we practice for a long time. We don't need to wait long as a silence. I feel like we don't know what is happening, but most times now we're the cause of struggling and suffering. We face it. Don't say you're right because of urgent 2K. Stand for what is right, no matter what the people say. Nigeria, wise up, let us stand up with unity. We can overcome and rise
up, wise up.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report your destroyed.
Only on your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue like this.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's talk.
We'll be right back. welcome back. It's What's Happening Abuja. Over the last few years, Nigeria has gone through, you know, a test of its, you know, sovereignty. And of course, we have suffered the weight of insecurity at different levels from different quarters and for different reasons. Some have tried to, you know, explain it by saying that insecurity is caused by the jostle for resources, talking about the environment. It's getting drier up north. Life is towards the water. Everybody tends towards life. You know, where water is, there is life. And if the water is drying up in the north, then, you know, that jostle for resources would cause for an influx from the north to the south. The Lake Chad Basin is 1% of its original capacity, and many other issues around the environment happening in the north. That is one explanation. Other explanations would be that probably Nigeria has not, to a great extent, optimized its resources, taking into cognizance the active sector of environment and society, talking about the youth and engaging them, providing jobs, providing opportunities, using our resources to our best interest as a nation, has not been our strongest point since returning to democracy in 1999. Some would say that's the reason for the insecurity, because the idle man, they say the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Well, whatever the explanations may be, there have been those who have been at the receiving end, and there have been those who definitely have been, you know, profiting from this. One big conversation that we have always had as this particular situation has unfolded. Who are the sponsors of terrorism? Who are the sponsors of banditry? Who is benefiting from insecurity in Nigeria and will not let it go? Well, what we'll be talking about this morning is who has suffered. Of course, one narrative has been very strong. The Fulani people are the ones who are the trouble, right? It has been a strong narrative. So, you know, people say, oh, Fulani headsmen, Fulani this, Fulani that. Well, we have a Fulani man in the studio this morning, a very concerned one at that. He is a financial expert. He is, I believe he wears many caps, you know, runs his own company, but has been with us many times as a financial analyst on my last show. But today, we're going to be looking at the story from the eyes of a Fulani man himself. Suleiman Tambaya is my guest in the studio this morning. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you so much, Suleiman. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Fortune. Thank you, Nigeria.
Yeah, so basically the Fulani need to say their own version of the story, and now they've been affected by this entire banditry issue in northern Nigeria. But some will find it difficult to believe that a Fulani man has been affected negatively by this. How is that possible?
Oh yeah. Good morning once more.
Yep.
Yes. The Fulani man has been at the receiving end of this, and so basically this will be because it will not be known because the Fulani man has no voice. Now, there are two basic Fulani people.
Okay.
You know that the urban Fulani people, and then there are herders.
Okay.
Now, the urban Fulani people are divided into two categories.
Okay.
Those that are the leaders of the traditional institution.
Okay.
Then the ones that are strong in politics. The ones that... Exposed. Yeah, then the ones that are rich. So the strong business people. So in these three categories, almost at the helm of all of them, they are Fulani people. Power in Nigeria, traditional rulership in northern Nigeria, the rich people, if I may say, those that control the economy in northern Nigeria, they're basically all Fulani people. So there is that part of Fulani. The other part of Fulani are the ones that are They are not this, but they are educated or not educated.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they are in the urban settings or rural settings that are not herding.
Exposed.
Yes.
You know, working in civil service, average professionals.
Basically. So they are those Fulani people. And then the other ones are the herders. The herders are basically those that are settled in one place, herding their cattle, and those that are nomadic.
Mm.
Those that go up and down. But everybody will want to take a Fulani man out of Nigeria to say, they migrated into Nigeria and all. It's an argument that sociologists have had. Everyone came from somewhere, you know. So, but what we need to understand is few have a voice, but the largest number don't have a voice. And they have been the ones that have been affected massively. So I'll tell you how they've been affected. Cattle rustling started in late 1990s. That's when cattle rustling actually started. And, you know, we see these white animals moving up and down, and they don't seem very important to us. But an average head of a cattle, of a cow, is 200,000 naira.
Wow.
So you see a small boy, maybe two of them, or maybe with a small girl, you know, herding a herd now that has over almost about 100. That's 20 million moving there. As in, on a simple, you know, that's 20
off,
million.
Off the top of your fingers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they are, it is that money that attracted the rustlers. Now, the rustlers, if you are not a Fulani man, you can't rustle cow.
True.
You have to rustle cow when you understand the science. Because it's a science.
It is.
Herding. So you have to know that. So, yes, the marauders are actually Fulani people. Now, you can't exempt the entire Fulani people in Nigeria. Neither can you box all of them.
All of them.
Yes. But rustling does not have its origin in Nigeria. Rustling has its origin from Upper West Africa and North Africa. Basically, these are the people who have lost their means of livelihood and they have come down here.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is that if you take a Nigerian and you take a Nigerian and you place, say, a phone before them, a Nigerian will go for the cheap phone, a Nigerian will go for the expensive phone. Why? Because in Nigeria, the purchasing power is higher. There is more money in Nigeria than there is more money in any other African country, West African country, to be safe. So therefore, Nigeria was a safe zone for rustling. Now, the cattle head in Nigeria is large, but there is money to purchase the cow in Nigeria. So Nigerian, a cow in Niger sells for half the price
that
you sell
it
in Nigeria.
And so all you need to do is go just cross a small line. Yeah.
Niger to from Maradi, for instance,
to Katsina.
Katsina is a stone throw. You know. So and here is where the money is. So they must come here. So they came here with their own. When you got finished,
they started looking for.
They started looking for, because now the money was cheap. And then, because we do not have a structured way of
managing
our resources, because we will soon understand the economic importance of having cows. We may talk about it in a bit. Yes. So, but because we don't manage that, we've allowed these people on their own empty. And then they became the prey of these marauders, who they are partly Fulani, partly other people. So rustling became a thing of the day for them. Now what happened was, you will be at home and gunmen will come and pursue, say, 500 of your cows. I have an uncle, not my uncle, my mother's uncle, who in a day, they rustle 1,200 cows from his head. Now, 1,200 may look small, but when you multiply that by...
You know, after you told us what 100 cows
yes.
is, 1,200 is no longer small to me.
Yeah. So, that is how much of his cows were rustled in one day. In one night, that happened. Some of the grandchildren followed these people with bikes. And they were there. Of course, the people orchestrating the managing the cattle movement, the Fulani people. But those ones with the guns, that was in that situation. I'm not saying all the situations. In that situation, they weren't. They were basically a mixture of different tribes from Nigeria. So you will see that there is some form of connivance with other people. And it's all because of the commerce. It's only because of the money.
So the issue is not a tribe issue.
No.
It's an issue of people taking advantage of a loophole and carrying out vices.
It's simple money that is lying down.
Yeah.
That some people have understood how to
come and
manage it.
Yeah.
And you know, sell it.
Hmm.
And you know, the moment you cross the River Niger with your cow, the price of that cow increases by over 50%. If you buy a bull in Abuja for 200,000, if you go to Kwara today, Ilorin, you will sell that one for at least 250. When you get to Lagos, you sell it for 300.
Wow.
On like this.
Wow.
So it is that simple money lying down that attracted them. So they have ravaged a lot of Fulani people, cattle rearers, the nomads. They have ravaged them. And imagine if that is all you know all your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you sell from.
Mm-hmm.
That is what gives you your emotional attachment. And that is what you pass over to another your generations.
True.
Then overnight, you don't have anything. Then there is this number of young people that today their parents don't have cows for them to herd. What would they do? And in a very mild way to put it, a Fulani man is basically a very strong opinionated and very
strong-willed
person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't use that properly, these people end up becoming victims, becoming tools in the hands of these evildoers, which that was what was used. Now, before we got to this point, they have rustled a lot of these people's animals. Now, who is meant to protect them is the government and the government institutions. Now, security agencies and the courts. Now, if an animal goes to the court, goes to the policeman, and the policeman sees money lying down for him to extort. And then they started extorting these people like never before. So they are battling rustling here, and now on this side, they are battling extortion from security agencies. Then it became a huge challenge for them. Now, when you move from down, from the security agencies, now you go to the court. They don't blink. They just fine. They just fine a Fulani man. And then the Fulani man goes back. When you just fine him 200,000, 300,000, if you fine a village man 200,000, he will sell all he grew for the last 12 months to pay the 200,000. If you find a Fulani man 200,000, it's just one bull or a heifer. And he's okay, and he has maybe 500-600 of that. So not an issue. So they realize that they can get more. And then they continuously increase this thing. So they are losing their stock from rustling, they're losing their stock from extortion by the courts and the security agencies. Military and police put together with no fear of being quoted that I said so.
Mm.
Now, when they have lost all this, now you have an ideal bunch of kids who have nothing to do. There's no cattle for them to graze. Then
they are not going to school.
There is no school. Now, the government did not make... The government made nomadic education, a commission under Ministry of Education for nomadic education. Now, it's one of those our borrowed policies that we don't follow through properly. What is that borrowed policy? You are meant to synchronize the syllables and the calendar with the moving pattern of
all
these people.
These people, since they are nomads.
You are grazing in Bauchi, then you went to now graze in
Benue,
for instance. And then a teacher is sitting there waiting for you. Okay, social person, your register is open. You are meant to start school today here. We have not even done that with our urban schools and our village schools. Is it nomadic school that you can do that with?
I mean, I'll hold you at that point, Suleiman. There's a lot, that we need to unpack in some of the aspects you have opened up. But I can assure you there are many of these aspects that we didn't see, like this, from this perspective, giving it numbers, helping us to see, what that situation has been and will be. But let me let you know, those of you listening, we're speaking with Mr. Suleiman Tambaya, who, of course, today he's on the cap of a concerned Fulani man. And, of course, I thought this was important for us to talk about so that we can see all the sides and then call trouble for what it is, call evil for what it is, and, of course, see our brother for who he is. I'll be right back. We'll take a short commercial, and we'll be back.
Exciting and stimulating talk. Stimulating talk. Nigeria Info. Your number one for talk. Number one for talk. Let's talk.
Because I'm a visitor here in Abuja.
Why is it that they are always
right in Abuja?
I pay those Christian police to go there and organize them.
I just come back now. I'm on Katampe Station Bridge. I want to run through inside Gwarimpa to go.
What's happening in Abuja? What's happening? 9:30 to 12 p.m. Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
There's a place where you can get it all trending.
People are dropping on their vehicle and running, leaving their vehicle.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report your destruction.
Only on your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's talk.
Abuja, this is your mayor. This is no time for speeches. It's a time to take responsibility. It's a time to get your hands on the plow. It's a time to take responsibility for our city. The city needs our help, and we must be involved in making this city work. It's time to get out there and clean up the city. It's time to stop at a traffic light. It's time for us to treat the city with respect. Abuja is our home. We must treat it as our home. So I welcome you to the new FCT, where the citizen is the leader, where the followers are in charge, and where the people's voice takes over.
Back to back and back of the biggest talk on your number one station for the Nigerian
information.
It's okay, that is okay.
It's okay.
No, it's okay.
Let me explain.
It's okay.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info, your mic is always on. Let's talk.
All right. welcome back. It is What's Happening Abuja, and today we, you know, do our best to look at another side of the insecurity story, and who suffers, who has benefited, who has been on the receiving end, and all of that. And, you know, helping us, you know, see that side of the story today is Suleiman Tambaya, a concerned Fulani man, a financial analyst by profession, and many more caps he wears. Once again, I say thank you, Suleiman, for being with me today.
Thank you.
At some point, we'll definitely be taking a few questions and, you know, messages and all of that. Dino Helsinki has sent me a message. I think Dino is in Canada. Okay, in Finland, in Finland, that's where he is. Dino from Helsinki, he actually did ask, he says, is it possible to identify a Nigerian Fulani man and a foreign Fulani man? What's the difference? And then what's your take on herders carrying around weapons? And what do you think or suggest on how to go about the herders and farmers conflict? So I think these are things that maybe I'll bring you back to when we have, you know, exhausted on some of the things we wanted to talk about. But let's wade a little deeper into, you know, what the economics of this is. Of course, as the case may be.
Okay. You see, we have a very, like I earlier said, strong economy.
Mm.
In a way.
Okay.
We have a very strong economy, and if we go through number of cows consumed in Nigeria, maybe the numbers may start to jive for a lot of people.
Okay.
And so it is neither to the left nor to the right. On both sides, you can you know, make strong cases. For instance, the then Minister of Agriculture,
yes,
Mr. Odu Obi, stated that the slaughter slabs, the abattoirs in Lagos,
mm-hmm.
and it was concurred by the Commissioner for Agric in Lagos in 2017, that the slaughter slabs in Lagos slaughters 6,600 cows on a daily in Lagos. Now, it may look small, it's just 6,600. When you multiply that by 250,000 naira, average cost of one cow.
Yeah.
You're talking about an economy bubbling and bursting in 1.6 billion naira daily. Mm. 1.6 billion naira daily. That is how much Lagos consumes on meat. Only Lagos. Now, if you add the owambes,
the special parties,
birthdays, what and all, they now said that the numbers get to 8,000 in a day. But let's take the one that they have that is on record, 6,600. It is 1.65 billion naira daily. That is how much this is. Every month is 50 billion naira.
Mm.
How much subvention does Lagos State get from the Federation account every month? But exchanges of cash for cow in Lagos is 50 billion monthly. That means 600 billion in a year.
Yeah.
Over half a trillion.
Wow.
That is how much Lagos does business with it. The land mass of Lagos is 3.something square kilometers.
Mm.
That's how much it is, with about, we don't know our numbers properly, but let's just for ease and say 20 million people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes sense that they consume this. But Lagos is not growing these animals.
Mm.
Now, if you take Port Harcourt, you add who does 4,000. You're talking about a billion naira daily, a 30 billion naira monthly. Annually, it's 365 billion on an average, give and take. That's how much transaction that does. If you add it 365 to 600, you're just a few billions shy of a trillion. Now, if you take Abuja that does 1,200 cars daily, if you add it to the equation, it's 87 billion. That is over a trillion naira. Only three cities in Nigeria. Only three cities out of, say, capitals of 37.
Explains why, you know, someone would want to rustle.
That is the incentive for the rustle. Now, because this is not protected in any way, anybody can take anything to go and sell. And that it will make sense why people will go into this. Now, the insecurity in Northern Africa, especially Libya, threw a lot of arms into the hands of civilians. And Libya, Algeria are just as close to Niger and Senegal, Mali more of than anywhere. And it is easy for these people to move down and come to where the money is. If you have a gun and you can get money with it in Nigeria almost undisturbed, you will come down here with it. So that is where the insecurity came from. It was first for money. Now they got the they are getting the money. These same people that they use the arms to rustle them started getting arms to protect themselves because the state failed them in that. It is totally wrong. It is nobody should support a militia in any form, because the moment a civilian carries an arm, it is not a civilian, course, he becomes a militia.
Because,
so,
you know,
it is wrong. It's totally, totally wrong. It should have been. But you cannot, you as an individual, you can't stop an armed person.
True.
He sends you to your grave immediately. But there are people that taxpayers' monies are used to, pay them to do that. Unfortunately, they are mostly in collaboration with these people. If you hear stories of, I'm sure people have come here to tell you their personal experiences when they got kidnapped, or their loved ones got kidnapped, when they have to go and pay ransom. In every situation, there is a security agency or agencies involved in it. How many people have said that they had to pass a police checkpoint or an army checkpoint to go and pay ransom? Some people have even said it's the security agency that are directing them to where they go. So these people are meant to protect and stop the rustling and stop anyone carrying arms, be him Fulani, be him any other person. But it's not. But with the numbers you have seen, you will know that it is going to be difficult for it to be stopped. And when you take a man's livelihood away from him, you have exposed him to any form of violence, as it may appear to them.
Right now, I mean, we're talking about a very highly exposed situation. Now, there, you distinguished between, you know, the Fulani man who is settled and is caring for his cattle, you know, and all of that. You know, they find their grazing spots around their area. They don't, they're not nomadic. Then there are those who are nomadic. Now, a lot of the narratives have come out of the fact that, you know, the cattle are moving from one place to another. The Fulani men are moving from one place to another. Just like this, the question this person asked about carrying weapons and all of that. Are they suffering at the same levels, talking about those who are nomadic and those who are central, or is it the central ones who have suffered the most? Who has taken the brunt the most? And of course, you told me you have a personal experience from someone you know that you can share with us.
Who have suffered the most are the settled ones. They're the ones that suffered the most. Now, what happens to their situation is they are located, they know where they are. And it is usually with some members of the same family who give out information about, okay, this person has this much head. So if you get, if you pick one of their, this thing, he will sell and then he will pay. So the ones that are settled in one place were the ones that are mostly affected. And up to date, when you discuss with people that come from the villages,
yes,
they will tell you that they live peacefully with these people for long. Now, I have moved across Nasarawa, Benue, Plateau, Taraba, and Southern Kaduna. With the narratives, with what you hear on media, you will assume that you will not see one cow grazing. But on the steady, you find cows grazing. And why is that? It's because the people there know the Fulani people with them. And they know that they are not the problem. So when now you box every Fulani man and give them and stereotype them and tag them, they are this, you are not doing justice to these ones that are still peacefully coexisting with the people they are with,
legitimately doing their business.
You will not do justice to them. So we have got that challenge that have that have created this huge gap that we have not yet been able to balance. Now, the ones that move,
yes,
even the settled ones,
yes,
they move in seasons.
Yes.
Not them, but the young, abled men,
able-bodied ones
amongst them, pick from the herd some few heads, and then they move to another location with them to go graze. Now, what are they following? They are following water and they are following vegetation,
fresh, yeah,
grass. Now, in that they are transiting, I have heard people say, I'm carrying Fulani people. I am from the nomadic stock. I'm not the urban Fulani man. I'm from the cattle rearing Fulani section. I have not seen, neither have I heard of anyone carrying arms. But there is another set of herders who are, they go and look for them, some strong people in Nigeria owns large herds of cattle. Now, they go look for these grazers. These are the ones that sometimes you hear that they are armed because their principals armed them to protect their wealth. If you just do the simple multiplication, if I move around with 300 cows, which is a small number of cows to move around with, I move around with 300, if you multiply that by maybe 200,000, you will see that it makes sense for me to carry AK and pursue it when my conscience is dead. So the owners kind of fund, I don't know if that's the right word to put it, to protect their arms, their
cattle.
Their cattle.
As they move
so
around.
Now these are the ones that you may find that are armed. But your everyday regular Fulani man is not, he is far from that. You find him with his stick and with his cutlass. These are the only two things you find. I keep hearing they are carrying arms. You see picture of a young man with AK-47 on his shoulder moving. These are not, and all the people saying that, I can bet you none of them have seen a Fulani man carrying arms.
And if probably in pictures or
only in pictures. And
I mean, so it's difficult to really say, because I mean, since they are all grazing, like you said, you know, there is a group that possibly would do that. And they may have run into them in their own communities, in their own, you know.
No, so yeah, in those instances, it is very possible. It is very, very possible in those instances. Most Fulani herders, what they do is that they are usually on the side of where you have grains. If they don't decide to be mischievous, go into the
farms,
they will be on the side of the farms to protect stop the animals from going into the farms, or on the side of the road so that the cows don't cross into the road. They are usually very visible. So you see what they are carrying. Unlike if they are deep. And those, and the mischievous ones that do that, that carry arms, yes, they won't carry arms where everybody will see them. Nobody will be that foolish. Of course, they will carry arms, but they are those that head
deep into the... They will be a bit more discreet.
Yes, and they are deep into the bushes. Bushes. Mm. So they may come and attack and get what they will get and go back. And they are usually not the Fulani people you see every day. Because they are even afraid. And the genesis of them carrying arms was to protect themselves. Like I told you, the people that give their cows they're herding are the ones that are arming them to protect their investments.
So insecurity is birthing more insecurity, as the case may be. Well, let's bring in people into this conversation. I know this is not a conversation I can exhaust in one sitting, because there are many, many angles. And I know, yes, you wanted to answer that question. Yes. Just finish with that. Okay, so what's your take on herders carrying automatic weapons? You've done that.
Yeah.
Identifying Fulani, local Fulani from foreign Fulani. What do you think or suggest about the herders-farmers conflict?
Okay. We've done the A. The B is, it is very easy to identify a Fulani man that is of Nigerian stock. Because today's Fulani Nigeria have mixed with a bit of almost every other person that they are living with. So they have lost that typical Fulani look. If you Google Fulani, the picture you see is of, so say, the Cameroon Fulani or the Chad or the Niger and all that. So they have lost that distinction, but it's still there. But what makes the difference is the language.
Okay.
For those that speak Fufulde, they know that this Fufulde is different from the ones.
Oh, I see.
So we have three distinct dialects of Fufulde in Nigeria. There is the Adamawa, which is spoken in the Nigerian part of Sadrana province, Adamawa, Taraba, and then Cameroon. So there is that Fufulde is distinct. If you come down from Adama, the part of Gombe, part of Taraba, you know, coming into some part of Yobe, just close here, is a different Fufulde. Then if you come to the northwest, it's different. As soon as you get out of the northwest, you get into Niger, it's entirely different Fufulde.
Wow.
So you will hear when they speak because it's the same language, but the dialects are different. Now, it is the role of the security agencies to have amongst their own ranks those that are able to identify this. Because it's intelligence. If you have who understands the difference, and then you now hear, I've heard a lot of audios of kidnappers. These are not Nigerian Fulani. Even their Hausa is terrible. Most of them don't even speak Hausa. The core kidnapping gang leaders, they don't even speak Hausa because they're not from Nigeria. So they have to have somebody who will speak Hausa on their behalf, or their Hausa is small, and their Hausa is more of the Nigerian Hausa. When you hear it, you know that this Hausa is not even our own Hausa. Their Fufulde is not the conventional, our conventional Fufulde. So it is something that can be known. And see, a Fulani man hates that person with everything they have. Today, if they have a room, an opportunity to revenge, they will kill them like they are not Fulani people as well. Because they are being killed by these same Fulani people as if they are not Fulani. If there is a code for being Fulani, if they will be sentimental about it. So there is sharp difference between Fulanis there and there. Then for farmer class,
what would be your solution?
They are all farmers. I'm an agricultural economist, so we classify anyone in agriculture as a farmer as long as it is animal and crop your husbandry. Now for a Fulani man that is heading, there shouldn't be any reason whatsoever for the Fulani man to graze into a farm. Grazing into another man's farm is like coming to cut your cows alive.
Alive, yeah.
So, like the way your cow is all you have, that is how
the way the farmer has.
Farm is all he has. So, if they feel bad about their cattle being killed, it's the same thing they are doing to farmers when they grow their crops. So, it is totally wrong. And good measures, disciplinary measures by the state has to be taken on this. You cannot, if an animal cannot graze into a farm that is worth, crops worth maybe 300,000, and you go and fine him 20,000-30,000 naira. It's wrong. Because the destruction to the farmer
is far
outweighs
yes,
the compensation. Fine. In fact, if there is anything, there should be a percentage markup on what they have suffered. If you destroy 300,000 worth of foodstuff in the farm, then you should be made to pay 300 plus, multiplied by X percentage. So that it becomes a deterrent. Because it is hard for you to say that... you separate, because in some countries they separated, like in Niger, where they herd cattle is different from where they farm crops. Unfortunately, these two people must live together.
Absolutely, you must find a way to live together.
The Fulani man who is not growing crops have to eat. The farmer needs meat. It's as simple as that. They all live together, so there has to be strong policy. Then when it comes to the issue around the clash, now there has been, I know it has been very controversial, grazing routes. Now these grazing routes have been made in a way to allow easy passage of cattle up and down. Now everybody needs cattle to move closer to them because everybody buys meat. You buy, when you have a cow grazing in Oshun, you are likely to buy a live cow cheaper in Oshun than if you have to go to Bauchi to buy it. So, but because of the challenges, because of the conflict that persisted and the insecurity, killing of people by the herders, it became an issue. And that's why some states are proposing banning of open grazing. And all that. But in the real sense of it, in the, when you look at the economics of the country, it actually should even be encouraged for that to happen.
I mean, but there are a lot of arguments about this, talking about how, you know, having you know, bigger countries, Brazil, you know, and all of that, they are ranching. And they have taught their people how to ranch.
Okay.
Is that even an option? And our time is gone. How people now be a part of this this morning? Maybe we should stretch this into the 11 o'clock hour to take calls, because I know a lot of people will not be happy with me if I don't take calls today. Somebody sent us this message, Suleiman.
Yeah.
Let's see. Don P. Tungamaje says, the Fufu Day man talking needs to be employed by Nigeria police to provide intelligent solutions in support of the fight against all of these issues. Well, do you want any employment? Well, Suleiman does not want to be employed. Well, just, you know, giving a perspective on this story. A good day to your guest. This has been really illuminating and goes to show that your guest is really versed in this matter. Would it be right to say that the issue is not really about hate or tribalism? To me, it seems all about money. Might I suggest that this program be repeated for the benefit of others who might have missed it? Also, what or have the influence of the community leaders limited? Okay, influence of community leaders and all of that is what he's asking. Is it limited? What are the community leaders doing? How are they engaging to solve these problems? You want to respond to that quickly?
Okay.
But, Suleiman, let's just establish this. You're not leaving at 11.
It's fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. You see, we have taught everybody in school about basically everything, but we did not teach ourselves about economics.
Mm.
And not the X, not the Y of the economics, but the basics.
Not the econometrics.
Not that. But the basics of how to make the most of what you have.
Mm.
We have not done that. Now, we do not understand the importance of cattle in our economy, because we still left it to be outside the scope of
our economic industry and all of that.
Oil is so beautiful, so it's easier for you to come up to do Bobongona, and you have say hundreds of thousands of tons of corn. You know, you can do cassava project, but we do not understand the concept of cattle rearing. And for economies that understood that, they are milking it very, very well. Botswana, as a country, Google the landmass in Botswana, Google their population. There are states in Nigeria that are bigger than it. Then look at, get the info on what they get from exporting meat. Now, community leaders are meant to see it in this way, and then they are meant to look for how to encourage this and put some form of limitation. And you see, Fulani people have started farming crops. Why are other people in Nigeria not grow, not rearing animals, cattle? It is not the prerogative solely of a Fulani man. Yes, is with history they've done it, but everybody can learn that. The economics are massive, and when there is this convergence of the Fulani growing crops, other people raising animals,
so cultures across pollination.
Yes, and then you will realize how we are interdependent on each other, and then it will help even ease some of these things. The farmer, the crop farmer, will understand that the cattle farmer will do this because he is in that.
He's into it.
Yes, so he will be able to come up with perspectives that will make that difference. So until we are able to start crossing this, it's just like the sociologist, school of thought that says intermarriages takes away tribal differences.
True.
So it's the same way, I believe, if we start crossing this.
Yeah.
You know, so you may mention Brazil.
Farming,
You may mention Brazil and all these other countries.
Suleiman, our time is up. We'll be back after the 11 o'clock hour. Don't touch your dial.
True conversations, trustworthy ideas, shared passionately on your number one talk station of the nation. Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja. Let's talk.
Guess who's back? The Beecrofts are back in Chief 92. And you know with them, wahala no dey finish. This new year, enjoy mad humor, suspense, and drama in Chief 92. Going for broke, stirring. Joke Silva, Funke Akindele-Bell, Kate Henshaw, Rachel Oniga, and many more. Stream Chief 92 on January 1st, 2022, only on Netflix. Download the Netflix app now and sign up, or simply log in and just press play. People of Abuja, this is your mayor. This is no time for speeches. It's a time to take responsibility. It's a time to get your hands on the plow. It's a time to take responsibility for our city. The city needs our help, and we must be involved in making this city work.
It's time to get out there and clean up the city. It's time to stop at the traffic light. It's time for us to treat the city with respect. Abuja is our home. We must treat it as our home. So I welcome you to the new FCT, where the citizen is the leader, where the followers are in charge, and where the people's voice takes over.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the other side of the story, insecurity in Nigeria, and of course, hearing it from the mouth of somebody who has seen the effect of insecurity and banditry on the Fulani people themselves. A concerned Fulani man with us in the studio, Suleiman Tambaya, giving us insight into all of this. And the feedback we're getting is really very positive. We've got 2 minutes to take one call, and then at the 11 o'clock hour, we'll take many more calls. All the way to 11:30, we'll be taking calls before we release Mr. Tambaya to leave today. Hello and good morning.
Thank you, Gamio. God bless you.
Welcome.
Good morning to our guests also. You have said your own. But I would beg to disagree with you when you say these people are from other countries. If they're from other countries, how do you people know? And then what is the solution to that? Can't you people stop them not to come to Nigeria? Is it right for them to come to this country? Or when they come to a place like Daura, they will enter a mosque. People will welcome them.
Okay, so when you say, can't you people stop them from coming to Nigeria, are you talking about a regular Fulani man, or you are talking about the government?
I'm talking of the way, or the one is talking about that they are the one who is come to us.
Yes, so my question is, who are you saying you people should stop them from coming to Nigeria? The government?
Now, those Syrian elders in Nigeria that they say they don't have problem, they can stop them. You get?
They can stop them?
Yes, sir.
How?
Oh, good of you. Let them expose them to security agency. My brother, let me tell you what is going on in Nigeria. The people who are following Kai in Nigeria, that these guys say they are not moving with gun. It's true, they are not moving with gun, but they have the mafians. The people who are moving with cow are not the ones who are carrying guns. That's what I want you to know, Mayor. You have to agree with me. What I'm trying to tell him is that when immediately you sighted somebody, if you and I go to your village, Mayor, immediately I enter your village, your people in the village will begin monitoring. When you are monitoring people that this person might be a criminal, why can't you people report them to security agency?
All right, so let's give him the opportunity to answer that question, Adeomi. We'll start from your question. Thank you so much. Suleiman, we'll get to you answering that question in a little bit. Have some time to, collect your thoughts while we take the news at 11. Don't touch your dial. This conversation is just getting more and more interesting as we carry on, because of course in this particular conversation what we're talking, we're fighting is the mindsets that have been created, the narratives that have been propagated, and the lies or truths that may have existed over the last few years. All of these we're looking at and doing our best to manage properly so that we can see each other the way we should see each other. I'll be right back after the news. It's What's Happening Abuja.